Good evening. The question I would like to pose to you tonight is, who do you think? How many in this room, you can show your hands if you want, have ever been pulled over by the police? Now, when that officer was done with you, when that traffic stop was completed, did you thank the officer? How about the last time you were driving, going to change lanes, the guy next to you finally let you in at the very last second? Did you let him pass you, give him the nice, you know, nod and wave to thank him? How about the parking lot attendant who just charged you $42 for 2 hours? Did you thank them? Did you thank the fast food employee who took way too long to make your double cheese, egg white only, no butter, twice toasted English muffin sandwich and still forgot the side of ketchup? Do you think the average prisoner in jail thanks the police officer bringing them a meager tray of food? When was the last time you thanked your boss? I bet you did when you got a raise. But what about the days when your boss didn't do anything at all for you? Or what about that review you had where you knew you weren't going to get a bonus? Or the time when maybe you were disciplined at work? Did you thank your boss for your job that day? How long has it been since you thanked God for your circumstances? When was the last time you thanked him for the $5 in your pocket to buy that breakfast sandwich? When was the last time you thanked him for having a job? Or for being able to own a car that runs well enough that you can get pulled over in it? You know, those two words, thank you, are more than just words. See, gratitude is an attitude. Gratitude is a lifestyle. And gratefulness is something that's very, very powerful. We often overlook it. We often disregard altogether because we're upset. Somebody upset me, I'm not going to thank them. They overcharged me. That's too much money. I don't need to thank that person. Now, tonight, we're going to mingle a little bit between thanking God and thanking other people. Some of the principles overlap. They're definitely related. And both are obviously important. Now, when we thank God, there's a few things that happen. First of all, most simply, gratefulness is in and of itself an act of obedience. Scripture talks about it very clearly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, just last week, as part of the message, Pastor George mentioned a question he often gets from people. What is God's will for me? Pastor, I don't know what to do. What is God's will for me? Now, that verse we just read mentions part of God's will for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's part of God's will, and also an act of obedience. That's scriptural. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Gratefulness also takes the attention off you. I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time thinking about me. I spend a lot of time, effort, money, based on my wants, my desires. It's always about me and then everybody else. But the truth is, where we are today, whatever that circumstance is, you can thank God for it. Whether good or bad, he is there with you. And we owe it to him for the things he has done in our lives. He's the reason we are who we are. He's the reason we're living where we are. He is the reason we're at the college we are, the job where we are. He's the reason we're living and breathing because of his mercy, his protection, and his healing. That attitude of gratefulness fuels humility because the attention is now off of me, or number one, as they say. When I stop and thank you, I'm recognizing you. I'm giving you credit. And giving you credit for something, it's not natural. I want the credit. I want the attention. I want people to look at me and say, look what Mark has done. So when I stop and I'm grateful for something you've done or something God has done, suddenly that attention is shifted. And it can stir up humility in your own heart. Because you're not looking at yourself anymore. You're looking at somebody else. You're looking at God. Gratefulness can also bring healing. Gratefulness can heal relationships. For those of you who are married, do you stop often and take time to thank your spouse? I know it's his job to take out the garbage, and that he complains every time he's doing it. But maybe part of his attitude is because you don't stop and recognize the things that he does do, even if he does them every week. When was the last time you thanked your spouse for something that they do all day, every day? Maybe it's not something out of the ordinary. It's easy to thank people for doing something big or unusual. But what about the mundane? Those things can affect and heal relationships that are maybe severed or broken. Definitely be a part of that healing process with the Lord's help. How about your kids? Do you often take time and thank your kids? Maybe you had to yell twice at them to do what you're trying to ask them to do. Maybe you came home from work and the list of chores you left for them isn't quite complete. But do you recognize them for the things they do do? From their perspective, do they feel that you care or even acknowledge them when they do complete what's asked of them? Something to think about. Gratefulness can also bring emotional and psychological healing. Now, we didn't come here tonight to talk about healing. But it's worth mentioning. When you have a shift in your attitude and that spirit of humility begins to build, it diminishes some of that inherent pride we all have and selfishness. And maybe that pride is related to that addiction you have or the anxiety you suffer from. And see, a little bit of gratefulness in turn develops the humility, which minimizes the pride and can affect some of those other psychological and emotional things that some or all of us deal with all the time. There's healing and gratefulness. And in turn, I believe that your emotional and psychological states are very much tied to your physical state. We each have one body of many parts, each serving its own purpose and all affecting every other one. So what's to say that you improving your emotional and psychological well-being couldn't also in turn improve your physical well-being? Gratefulness also keeps us focused on eternity. Whether our circumstances are good or bad, choosing to be grateful in them, in spite of that, gives an opportunity for the Lord to work. To read 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Many of you in this room know my sister Corey. What you may not know is who she was named after. She was named after her grandfather, Cornelius, as well as Corrie ten Boom. The Ten Boom family was around during the Holocaust period, and single-handedly, that family unit was responsible for saving the lives of upwards of 800 Jews during the Holocaust. And what they did is they helped manage and facilitate a network of safe houses, their own house included. So they would have up to 6 or 7 people staying with them at any given time, maybe for a few hours, maybe a few days. They would talk to other families who might be interested in helping with this safe house. They would help transport people to the next safe house. But they were responsible for saving upwards of 800 Jews. Now, at one point, unfortunately, the family was betrayed. They were found by the soldiers, and the family was arrested. The family was then separated. Corey and her sister Betsy were sent to a flea-infested concentration camp. Now imagine that for a second. You're a Christian. You literally helped save the lives of hundreds of people that walked through your door. While they were with you, you preached the gospel to them. You did what you believe was the right thing to do, in spite of the government at the time telling you it's wrong. Then you're arrested, taken from your family. You and your sister are sent to arguably one of the worst places you can imagine, a concentration camp. There's disease, sickness. People leave the barracks and don't come back. Think about that for a second. You and your sibling or you and your spouse, imagine being in that situation. What do? Where do you go? Your death is imminent. What on earth is there to be thankful for? In Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place, she recounts a story from that concentration camp with her sister Betsy. They were reading 1 Thessalonians together, and Betsy was challenging her to thank God. And they went through a list of things they can be thankful for. Because that verse that we read, give thanks in all circumstances, Betsy reminded her, Paul did not say to be thankful in pleasant circumstances, but in all. The Apostle Paul didn't write, when life's good, thank God. When God gives you what you want, give him some thanksgiving and praise. No, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says be thankful in all circumstances. Betsy convinced Corey to thank God for a few things. First, that they were together. Second, for their Bible. When they entered that camp, the guards didn't inspect their belongings, and they were able to bring a Bible into the concentration camp. Betsy also said to thank God for the overcrowding, because that meant there were more women in the room that they could share Jesus with. And then Betsy said to thank God for the fleas. Now let me read Corey's response to that. We stood between tiers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas, but this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. I have to agree with her. I can't imagine being in somewhere, say in the middle of the wilderness or a swamp, mosquitoes everywhere, and pausing and thanking God for the mosquitoes. It'd be a hard thing for me to do. And considering the circumstances, another interesting thing from this story is Corey talks about services like no others these times in Barracks 28. We were under rigid surveillance, guards in their warm wool capes marching constantly up and down. It was the same in the center room of the barracks, half a dozen guards or camp police always present. Yet in the large dormitory room, There was almost no supervision at all. We did not understand it. That room is where they held the services. One afternoon, a group of the women were working during the day. In this case, they were knitting. And they got into a dispute. They couldn't resolve it themselves. So they reached out to one of the camp supervisors. They wanted to bring the person in the room to resolve this dispute. The supervisor wouldn't step foot in the room. Do you know why? The fleas. Those fleas gave Corey and Betsy an opportunity to hold regular, multiple time a day, uninterrupted services, completely unsupervised by the concentration camp guards. That's the power of Jesus. They stopped and felt that they needed to thank God for the fleas, not having any idea why. And yet those same fleas were the reason they were able to share the Bible and share the gospel openly without a single guard interrupting them. See, when you're grateful and you move yourself out of the way and you recognize Jesus for what he's done, he takes that humility and he can use your situation for his glory, whatever that situation or circumstance might be. And in the midst of that situation, he can bring peace. Philippians 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As we leave here tonight, I want to challenge you to try gratefulness. Start small. Start with what you have to be grateful for tonight. It's cold and snowy outside. You can be grateful for the sweater or the jacket you have to put on right now. You can be grateful that your heart is beating. And for some of you in this room, you can be grateful that your heart is still beating because it's not supposed to be right now. Maybe you don't have food in your refrigerator at home. But you know what? You can be thankful that when we leave here, there's dessert downstairs and you're going to have dessert for dinner tonight. There are so many things that we have to be grateful for. I'm willing to bet that if you start tonight, it won't be long before you see the impact of that. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done. We thank you for all the ways that you do take care of us day in and day out. We thank you that we are still alive. We thank you for the blood that is powering through our veins right now. And most of all, Lord, tonight we thank you for your salvation. We thank you that we have a way to be joined with you for eternity someday. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross, to take the place of our sins, to take the place of our selfishness and our issues and human just issues, God. We thank you and we praise you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.